Good morning. Today's scripture reading is again taken from the epistles of 2nd and 3rd John, and we'll be reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible today. Greeting the elder. To the elect lady and her children, I love all of you in the truth, and not only I, but also all who have come to know the truth, because of the truth that remains in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I am very glad to find some of your children walking in the truth, in keeping with the command we have received from the Father. So now I urge you, dear lady, not as if I were writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commands. This is the command, as you have heard it from the beginning, you must walk in love. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. They do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves so you don't lose what we have worked for, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who does not remain in Christ's teaching, but goes beyond it, does not have God. The one who remains in that teaching, this one has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your home, and don't say welcome to him. For the one who says welcome to him shares in his evil works. Though I have many things to write to you, I don't want to do so with paper and ink. Instead, I hope to be with you and talk face to face so that your joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister send you greetings. 3 John. Greeting the elder. To my dear friend Gaius, I love you in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may prosper in every way and be in good health physically, just as you are spiritually. For I was very glad when some brothers came and testified to your faithfulness to the truth, how you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are showing faithfulness by whatever you do for the brothers, especially when they are strangers. They have testified to your love in front of the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, since they set out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from pagans. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we can be co-workers with the truth. I write something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have first place among them, does not receive us. This is why, if I come, I will remind him of the works he is doing, slandering us with malicious words. And he is not satisfied with that. He not only refuses to welcome the brothers himself, but he even stops those who want to do so and expels them from the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself, and we also testify for him. And you know that our testimony is true. I have many things to write you, but I don't want to write to you with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be with you. The friends send you greetings. Greet the friends by name. May God bless the public reading of his holy word. Today's sermon, Truth and Love and All Kinds of People, Part 2, will be delivered by Pastor David Wong.
Very good morning. It's good for us to be together as the 8:30 and the 10:30 services. One problem I foresee is that you may have lost your favorite seat in the lower sanctuary. We have no problem with the upper sanctuary, but the lower sanctuary may not be able to find the seat you normally have at the 8:30 service. I thought it may be good for us to begin this morning by turning to the person next to us and asking the person, how are you? Shall we do that? Just ask the person next to you, how are you? And give an answer to the one who asked you. Yes, how are you? How are you really? How are you physically and spiritually? And how are you doing in your body and in your soul? You know, for some, this may be awkward questions, especially the part about spiritually and the part about how are you in your soul. We often ask the question, how are you? Casually, and we don't really expect anything significant in reply. And when we are asked, how are you, we often answer without much thought. Fine, or I'm okay. Sometimes it's not an honest answer. Today we're looking at the two letters from the Apostle John. Two short letters, 2 John and 3 John. And actually today we come to the end of the epistles of John in the series which we started some months ago. And this third letter, as you heard just now being read to us, has this wish. Dear friend, I pray that you may prosper in every way and be in good health, physically just as you are spiritually. This is in the Holman's version of the New Testament. In the ESV, it reads, Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Well, this is the wish of John for the reader of the third epistle, Gaius. And this is also my wish for you and our wish for one another. Let's just pause to pray and ask the Lord to show us how we can be doing well, especially in our soul. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, you who love us and wish the best for each of us. We confess that we're not always what we should be and who you want us to be. Neither are we always in the best condition or going the best way. Show us today by your Holy Spirit how we may find health in body, in mind, and in soul, and enjoy the abundant life that you promise us in Christ Jesus, your Son. It is in his name we pray. Amen. Last Sunday, we had the first part looking at the two letters of John, and you remember me saying that I'm fascinated by the fact that two very short letters, just one-page letters, could be included in the New Testament, included in the Bible. And you remember I showed you short notes that our daughters, when they were young, wrote to us whenever they wanted something. And we realized that God is interested in short letters as he is interested in long letters like Romans or James or even 1 John. You know, short notes that are written to us by our children, by our loved ones, they may not be very significant at the time when it's written. It's something that is commonplace, but over the years, they become very precious. And we believe that these two short letters by John, 2nd and 3rd epistle, is valued because of the relationship between John the Apostle and his readers, whom he called little children. We saw how in these two letters, John spoke about truth and love. He rejoiced to hear that his children are walking in the truth, but he also warned against deceivers who denied the truth and who were going about spreading false teaching. But thankfully, there are those who are going about proclaiming the truth. So John told his readers to reject those who deny the truth, but to receive those who teach the truth and who proclaim the truth. Now, that's basically the summary of last Sunday's sermon. And I found that this summary of last Sunday's sermon was very well captured by two young persons in our congregation, Esperance and Kayla, the daughters of Pastor Albie. Pastor Albie sent this to me just to have a look at the sermon notes by his daughter as they were listening to my sermon. Very good summary. We love the truth, and because we love the truth, we reject those who deny the truth, and we receive those who proclaim the truth. The world is filled with all kinds of people, and we need to know how to respond to different ones. There are the good people and the bad people. So today we continue looking at 2nd and 3rd John, and we ought to consider a few individuals that are mentioned by name in these two epistles. Could you please handle the PowerPoint for me, please? This is not working. Now, I suggest we begin with the wish in 3 John that we highlighted early on. John wishes for his friend Gaius two things: good health and that he may prosper in every way. Now, these two things, good health and prosperity, are the two things we wish for people and two things we also desire for ourselves: health and wealth. In our Asian culture, these are the two things we look for. Now, out of this desire has come what we call the prosperity gospel. And sometimes this verse in 3 John is used to support the prosperity gospel. What is the prosperity gospel? Well, it basically offers the good news that if you believe in Jesus, you will have health, wealth, and happiness. Of course, that makes the message very attractive. Now, who does not want to have health and wealth and happiness? Who doesn't want to be healthy, wealthy, and happy? But when we read the Bible, especially the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of his followers, we know that this cannot be true, because many of Jesus' followers never became rich. They never enjoyed the comforts and luxuries of life. Instead, they faced persecution and hardship, and many of them were martyred for their faith. They were killed for their faith. They did not enjoy what we would consider today health, wealth, and happiness. They found joy, yes, but often in the midst of suffering and deprivation. They found peace, yes, but often in the midst of pain and even torture and death. So what does John mean here when he wishes for Gaius to prosper and to enjoy good health? Well, the word prosper that we find in the translated in the King James Version, the Holman Version, is translated, I think, more accurately in the ESV and the NIV as go well. You see, the word prosper is made up of two words. The first word is good, and the second word is the way. So together it means to go well on the way. Or we would say to people who are about to embark on a journey, bon voyage, have a good journey. Now, in the sense, it does not have the meaning we often associate with prosper or prosperity. Now, the other word is good health. In the original, it's just one word, health. It's a word commonly used in greetings and wishes in letters of those days. So when you write a letter to someone, you always wish the person health or good health. Now, interestingly, it's also a word used in business. For example, when a service is done or some goods are delivered, they are completed in good health, safe and sound. That is, they are delivered to us in good condition. It's like the delivery order that we have today, the DO. When you receive an items, you sign the delivery order to say you have received it in good condition. Nothing is broken, nothing is torn, everything is functioning properly. Now, that's a helpful way of understanding health. So a healthy person is someone in good condition. Each part of his body is functioning as he should, and not only that, his mind is sound and his soul is whole. So good health means two things. You are safe and sound. You're in good condition. It means also that in your journey, you're doing well. You're going the right direction, and you're progressing towards your goal. Now, let's keep this in mind when we consider people in good health and people in bad health. So let's begin first with the bad news. People with bad health. Now, the first we already looked at last week. John calls them deceiver and antichrist. 2 John verse 7. Now, these deceivers do not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh. They deny that God has come as man in Jesus Christ. They hold to the belief that the flesh or the body is evil and sinful, so God could not have become a man or human and dwell among us. They deny the great truth of what we call the incarnation, God becoming flesh and dwelling among men. They deny that God can be fully human or that Jesus could be fully God. But we know that the incarnation is one of the teachings of the Christian faith that sets it apart from other religious faiths. Now, in other faith traditions, there have been teachings about God appearing to men, but not of God becoming man. becoming actually man or human. There have also been examples of men who claim to be God, to be divine, but never one like Jesus, who proved that he is God, and he proved it by rising again from the dead. And that is why the truth of the incarnation and the truth of the resurrection are so pivotal to the Christian faith and the good news of the gospel. And I'm so glad that each Sunday when we have the worshiping song and when we sing all the hymns and songs, we sing the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus, the incarnation of Jesus. Jesus coming to us as God, as man, and Jesus showing that he was God by rising from the dead. I like those lines where it says, "O tremble death, where is your sting? The angels roar that Christ is King." What wonderful truths and proclamations. Now, those who deny these truths are the Antichrist. That is, they are against Christ. They deceive people into believing in a Jesus that is not Jesus. They have no truth. They have no truth. They do not have the truth. And without the truth, these false teachers cannot be in good health. Now, we may compare them to a computer program that had been infected with a virus. This virus is a false teaching, and it spreads through the whole system, corrupting everything. Such people and those who follow them are not in good health. Neither are they going along the right way or in the right direction. So that's the first example of bad health, probably the most serious kind. You remember that John tells us to have nothing to do with these people, or else their virus will infect you and you too will be in bad health. The second example of bad health is an individual John calls Diotrephes. Now note that Diotrephes' problem is not a matter of truth. If he was in the same category as the deceivers and the Antichrist, John would have nothing to do with him. But we read just now that John says this, if I come, I'll bring up what he's doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. Or in the version we read just now, if I come, I'll remind him of the works he's doing, slandering us with malicious words. In other words, John is going to come and he's going to deal with the situation. He's going to confront Diotrephes. He's going to see him and put him in his place. So let's understand what's happening here. What's happening here with Diotrephes? He's probably a leader of a church. Most likely the pastor. Maybe a lay pastor, by vocation a pastor. John has written to the church. But Diotrephes refuses to acknowledge John's authority. It appears that this pastor was acting like a dictator, refusing to receive some of the visiting missionaries. And not only that, he opposed those who received these missionaries, and he kicked them all out of the church. Now, John was writing to the church, perhaps because he founded the church, or maybe one time he was pastoring the church. But now Diotrephes has taken over, and he had declared what we call UDI. What's a UDI? Unilateral Declaration of Independence. He had even bad-mouthed the apostle, what John calls wicked nonsense and malicious nonsense. Why was Diotrephes behaving like that? We are told the reason behind it. It says, who likes to put himself first, or who loves to have the first place, or who loveth to have the preeminence. You see, behind bad behavior, there's bad belief. Now, Diotrephes thinks, or he believes, that he's the greatest. Now, he's a preeminent one, the first and only. He's like some Christian leaders who say, I do not report to anyone, I report only to God. I once met such a pastor years ago. He told the church, I will only serve as your pastor if you give me the right to hire and fire. When he shared this with a few of us pastors, I told him it's a dangerous thing for him to do. What if he is taking the church in the wrong direction? He said, I'm always open to correction. I asked him, how many of your staff will dare to correct you if you hire them and you're going to fire them? He said, let God deal with me. May God strike me dead if I take the church down the wrong path. Well, he's still alive today, so I assume that he and the church are doing well. But jokes aside, loving prominence and loving preeminence, refusing to submit to authority, is a sign of bad health. You see, well, the first example of bad health, the deceivers and Antichrist, have to do with belief denying that Christ has come in the flesh. This second example, Diotrephes, has to do with behavior. Behavior. There's no love. No love on his part. Now, if you step back and look at the situation of Diotrephes, we can diagnose it as a lack of love. Well, there's love, actually, but love of self. Love of himself. And love of himself is so great that it excludes love for other people. Remember how John keeps telling his readers, love one another, love one another, love one another. But Diotrephes apparently had forgotten that. He would not take care of visiting missionaries. He could not accept those who took care of these missionaries. He did not show love. Instead, he threw them out of the church. Now, you may think that that's a terrible thing to do. And, you know, are there really leaders or pastors who behave like that? Not only did Diotrephes spurn the authority of the Apostle John, he abused his own authority and excommunicated members of his church who disagreed with him. Well, not too long ago, I heard something similar happening to a church. And some of you, when you hear me describe the church, you know which church I'm talking about. A pastor had served the church for many years. He fell sick, and after a few years of ill health, he passed away. After he passed away, his son took over the church. He had no theological training, he had no ministry experience. One day, members arrived at the church to find the church locked. He would not let anyone in. He would not listen to the authority over him, and he made it known that he is now in charge. Could he be a modern Diotrephes? Well, another example of bad health. No love for God's people, only love for himself. Well, in contrast to Diotrephes, thankfully we have someone like Gaius. So now we come to the good health, example of good health. Gaius, thank God for people like Gaius. He's commended by John. John says this, I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you're walking the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing that you do in your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. Here, Gaius is commended for walking in the truth. And also for showing love to the brothers. He's a fine example of truth and love combined. He has the truth, unlike the deceivers, and he has love, unlike the Diotrephes. You see, good belief leads to good behavior, and together they make up good health, truth and love. So what's the difference between Gaius and the Diotrephes? Well, a world of difference. Gaius loves the brothers, and the Diotrephes loves himself. Gaius helps the brothers. Diotrephes abuses them. People speak well of Gaius. Diotrephes speak evil of people. Now, what a contrast of good health and bad health. Gaius is commended for his love expressed in hospitality towards the brothers. And strangers, he welcomed them, who were fellow believers, even though he was meeting them for the first time, he did not know them before. And because they were God's servants, he received them, he hosted them, and he sent them on their journey with gifts and his prayers. We can see both his hospitality and his generosity. We also see his love for the truth and his love for those who proclaim the truth. Now, last week I mentioned that some of you, many of you, are already doing this. Now you give to us our missions budget so that we can support and encourage mission partners on the mission fields who are proclaiming the truth. You welcome and host God's servants whenever they pass through Singapore. You take them out for a meal. You spend time with them. And you make sure that they feel at home with us. There are many Gaiuses in our church. And you are commended for what you have done and continue to do. Then John mentions another person by name. And he commends him. He's Demetrius. He says in verse 12 of 3 John, Demetrius received a good testimony from everyone and from truth itself. You know, like Gaius, Demetrius has done good work. And his good work is well known and well attested. People were talking about it. And John came to hear about it and he added his commendation. Well, Demetrius received a one-verse commendation. And we wish that we could hear more about what he had done. But even in those few words, we get a glimpse of someone who has done much to bless the people, to love the people. He's said to have a good testimony. And we may compare this with the testimonial that, you know, sometimes you get when you complete a job or you finish your time with your organization. You know, something to add to your resume. And you receive this testimony from everyone. Not from one or two, but it was unanimous endorsement. And it says here, from the truth itself. The testimony is from the truth itself. But this last phrase is interesting. What does it mean, a testimony from the truth itself? You know, today we have so much being said in public that is not of the truth. And so much so that governments have to put in place laws to deal with fake news. I remember many years ago reading about one of the aspiring candidates for the U.S. elections. He was said to belong to a long line of distinguished ancestors. In particular, his grandfather was cited as someone well-known during his time. And before he died, he was publicly recognized before a huge crowd for what he had done. Very impressive. Someone did a research on the name and found that actually the grandfather was a notorious criminal. He was indeed well-known during his time, but for robbery and murder. Posters were everywhere offering a reward for his capture. He was caught. He was tried. He was sentenced to death by hanging. The whole town showed up to see him hang. And so it is true that before he died, he was publicly recognized for what he did before a huge crowd. Now, that would be a testimony, but not from the truth itself. You know, sometimes you hear all kinds of things said about public figures, the good and the bad. How do you know what is true? And how do you know what is false? What is only a public image of a person? And what is who he or she really is? In Demetrius' case, we are told that he's well spoken by the people, and that is what he truly is. His testimony is not only by people, but by the truth itself. What a commendation. So when we look at these three persons who are called by name by John, Gaius, Diotrephus, and Demetrius, we have good and bad examples. We have examples of good health, we have examples of bad health. And John tells us, beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God, and whoever does evil has not seen God. In other words, when you look at all these examples, make sure you follow the good examples and avoid the bad example. So what is the good that we should follow? What is evil that we should avoid? How can we keep in good health and go well on our journey? I'd like to suggest two markers or two indicators of good health. Good health not only physically, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. The first is integrity. Integrity has to do with truth. Earlier on, we said that the word health has the idea of soundness and wholeness, something that is in good condition. Well, another word for this is integrity. And Demetrius is a good example of integrity, because what the people see in him, what the people say about him, and what the people know about him is really who he is. It's the truth. Because integrity means that everything is one. It's integrated, like the integrated system of a computer. You know, what you are in public is also what you are in private. You're not two persons, you're one person. There's no pretense when you're in public. We are one person, not two different persons. One person in public, one person in private. Also, it means that what you say is also what you do. You don't teach one thing and practice another. Sometimes we call this walking the talk. Whatever you walk, whatever you talk, you also walk. It's very easy to talk the talk. Sometimes even easy to walk, to talk the walk. But to walk the talk, that's another matter. Your talk and your walk are one and the same thing. That's integrity. Walking in the truth, having integrity, means that you live out what you believe. Now, I face this challenge as a pastor and as an author. I preach and I teach, and I have to ask myself, do I do what I preach and what I teach? I also write books. I remind myself what I write to make sure that I practice what I write. And some friends of mine do hold me to the books I wrote. I have two books that have been reprinted several times and translated to 8 languages, Finishing Well and Beyond Finishing Well. So I'm always told, make sure you finish well, and make sure you go beyond finishing well. So I have to hold myself accountable to what I write in my books, and that is integrity. So we need to ask ourselves today, how are you? How is your health? What do you believe? What do you say you believe? Do you live out what you believe? Are you walking the truth? So the first indicator of good health is integrity. It has to do with truth, who you really are. The second word, indicator of good health is security. When we look at Diotrephes, we see in him an insecure person. He is a man full of insecurity. He's threatened by authority, the authority of the Apostle John, so he refused to listen to John. Instead, he exalts himself. He makes himself first. He feels secure only if he is in position of power. But he does not use his power to serve. He uses his power to dominate over other people. And that's why he refuses to receive the visiting missionaries. And that's why he throws out all those people who disagree with him. You see, many unhealthy people have issues with insecurity. They are afraid to lose something. And they're always anxious to prove themselves, to prove that they are somebody. And sometimes they're insecure because they're hiding something. They're afraid that people may find out something about them that's not good. I wonder if Diotrephes was like that. He's afraid to lose his preeminence, his position, his power. He's trying to prove that he is the greatest. And he's threatened by people. He's threatened by John. He's threatened by those people who don't agree with him. So he gets rid of them. And we wonder whether he's doing all this because he was hiding something. I like the way Edmund Chan, my good friend who spoke at my Good Friday service, the way he defines security. He said, a person who is secure is a person who has nothing to lose, nothing to prove, and nothing to hide. It's a wonderful definition. You see, Diotrephes was an insecure person. He's always afraid to lose something. He's always trying to prove something. And maybe he's hiding something. But on the other hand, you have Gaius. Gaius is someone who has nothing to lose, but everything to give. He thinks of others, not of himself. He's not preoccupied with proving himself. He's too busy thinking of others and serving them. So how do we cultivate security? It can be cultivated, but it requires some effort on your part. To cultivate security, first of all, I stop trying to prove myself. I believe God loves me for who I am. I don't have to earn His love. And secondly, I stop fearing that I may lose something, because when I come to Christ, I've already surrendered everything to Him. There's nothing left that belongs to me. So what is there to fear about losing? And thirdly, I stop trying to hide anything from God, because He knows me through and through. I come clean with Him each day. And when you think about it, you know, it's actually all about the gospel, isn't it? The gospel tells us that God loves us. We don't have to earn His love, so we don't have to prove ourselves to Him. The gospel tells us that when we come to Christ, we surrender everything to Him. He takes care of everything, so we don't have to be afraid of losing anything. And the gospel tells us that when we come to Him, we confess our sins. And Christ, by His death on the cross, forgives all our sins. So we have nothing to hide from God, because everything that is bad about us, we can confess to God, and He will deal with it. That's why I appreciate that the songs we sing every Sunday is a proclamation of the gospel, a reminder to us again and again that Christ has taken our sins, He has died for us, He has done everything for us. Finding true security is not easy. We are basically insecure by nature, but it can be cultivated over time. But I must say that I have the privilege of meeting people who are models of security. How do I know? There are people who continue to serve the Lord even when they no longer hold a position, when they no longer have executive power, but they still serve the Lord. They're not offended when their names are not mentioned. They share about their weaknesses, their struggles, and their failures. They're not afraid to let people see their true selves. I thank God for such leaders and people we have in our church. So the two markers of good health is integrity and security. One has to do with truth, walking in truth, and the other has to do with love. Being loved by God to the point that you cannot but love others. Just as John. John was a disciple whom Jesus loved. And when he received so much love from God, he was completely secure. And that is why he says, love one another, love one another, love one another. So as I end, let me go back to the question at the beginning. How are you? How are you? Are you in good condition? Are you going well on your journey? Are you heading the right direction? And are you progressing in that direction? How are you faring in truth? And how are you faring in love? Is your life marked by integrity, the truth? And is your life marked by security in love?